Joshua 5, we've got here the plans for taking Jericho. And everything about this battle plan seems humanly foolish. I think it was an attempt to teach Israel right at the start of the conquest of Canaan that victory comes from God and is not in human strength, and it may even appear that God's strategies are humanly foolish, but as Paul says, we are fools for Christ's sake. Well, Joshua 5 verse 2, the warriors were circumcised before the battle. Well, adult circumcision was a pretty major thing to do. You'd remember the men of Shechem were really totally weak after that for some days. And there was a very high risk of infection. And, well, would they have been cured, as it were? Would they have been at full strength, even, you know, a week or so afterwards? Well, not all of them. I do not believe so. I spoke with my wife, who's a doctor, about this, and she shrugged and said, yeah, probably a fair percentage of them would not have been at full strength. There would have been such a risk of infection, inevitably. Some would have been infected. So you think, well, God, why do you do this a long time before this battle? Or at least, you know, let them fight the battle and then, okay, then do it after that. Well, human weakness. That was the idea. And the other thing that happened was that abruptly, just before the Battle of Jericho, you see this from verse 12, the manna stopped. They'd been eating manna for 40 years. They would have got totally used to it. And suddenly, it stopped. The people would have probably been short of food and pretty phased about this major change, this absolutely major change of 40 years. You've grown up. Most of these people have grown up with manna. And suddenly it stops. And there would have been a lot of problems associated with a new diet. If you just had a diet like that and nothing else, pretty much, and then suddenly it stops, and you've got to eat something else, start eating the local food that's grown around you, you're going to have tummy upsets, you're going to have all sorts of difficulties and problems and possibly allergies and so on. Okay, then you go on. There was purposefully no advantage of shock or surprise in the strategy. They walked around the city 7 times, starting at dawn. Jericho, according to Kathleen Kenyon's excavations, was fairly big. People would have been tired from that. And the final assault was planned for late afternoon. And they'd walked around the city 7 times. They'd have been physically exhausted. All that blowing of trumpets would have been very difficult to sustain. And it's as if God was making the people weak. And then the walls fell down. So this is the pattern you see so often in how God works, that it is that God works through that which people consider foolish. The gospel itself is foolishness, Paul says, in the eyes of the world. But it is by the foolishness of the thing preached, and he means the apparent foolishness of the thing preached, that God's ultimate salvation is manifest. How could a man hanging on a cross, dying 2,000 years ago or whatever, on a hill just outside Jerusalem, how could he save me? How could he enter into my life today? And this is the wonder of the message. This is the power of the apparent foolishness of God. You see it worked out in your own life, that God may take you on a path that, humanly speaking, appears to be foolish. Why did I lose my job, have a car crash, end up in hospital, all this stuff, all the same day? Why? You know, why did that happen? And it seems a foolish way for God to behave. Why not pour just endless blessings into a guy's life? Well, because he has this master plan. And in the end, it is through the weakness, the apparent weakness of things and people, that God works. This is his characteristic. This is the hallmark of his operations with men. And as I say, it comes to full term in his salvation of the world, achieving the world's redemption through the crucifixion of a man, right? A more than man, the Son of God. But that is how it looked. And that, in that sense, is how it is. And don't be surprised, therefore, if life does not go the way that you think it should. Don't get angry with God, because in the kingdom, when you and I are living forever and ever and ever, we shall look back on this tiny little life, which will just be like a millimetre compared to a long, long line that has no end. And we shall understand that, sure, that is how it had to be. Thank you, God, for being so gentle with me in that, you know, that stuff back then kind of thing. Thank you for your gentleness. Now I see. And of course, the challenge of faith is to perceive that now.